Hey, Mainliners, how's it going? Howdy ho. Welcome to another exciting episode of Mainlining Movies. It's your boy, your host. I was going to say something completely different, but it's Hayden, your host, with my co-host, Nathan. Say hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hayden, I got to tell you, I got to let you in on a little secret.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm super excited about this week's episode.
I'm really?
Super excited because this week we're talking about the zombies.
Yeah, which zombie films have been a big staple in American Western culture, really, and pop culture, and surely my life as well. Because, well, when I play Call of Duty, what's the main thing I play? Zombies. So, like, you wouldn't have that without some of these great films we're going to talk about today. So, you ready to get into this? You ready to just get started? We're just going to jump right into it today, aren't we?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, you want to go ahead and share what your favorite zombie movie is with me?
You know, I actually want to do things a little bit different tonight, if you don't care.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I want to go ahead and share what I think is the greatest zombie film, and I'll tell you why. I want to share this because I think that every film that we're going to talk about tonight and every that we may throw references to, I think owes itself to this film, and I think you probably know what I'm going to say. So I'm just going to, if you don't care, I'm going to change it up a little bit. Are you good with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. Go ahead. Absolutely.
Okay. So what I think is the greatest zombie film of all time is Night of the Living Dead, the classic George A. Romero film from 1968. Now, this movie was remade almost shot for shot again in 1990 that starred Tony Todd. But the classic one, I think, is the best zombie film of all time. Now, Night of the Living Dead was not the first zombie film. The first zombie film, I think, is credited to a movie called White Zombie from 1932, which I have to be honest, I've never seen. If I have, I don't remember it. Zombie movie that this film owes itself to a beginning of where George Romero started. I mean, and not only that, but George Romero has done several zombie movies since, and even really kind of sequels to Night of the Living Dead, if you will, being Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Diary of the Dead. There's so many films that George Romero has done, and most of them are zombie films, and I think that we can all say thank you to George Romero for really opening the door to every zombie movie to come since then. How do you feel about that?
No, yeah, I agree. I feel like he was the pioneer of zombie films and really how we see the modern zombie. Now, of course, you have variations on that, which are fine. It's everybody trying to pay homage to George Romero's initial Hollywood zombie because he was the first to wear it. So you can correct me if I'm wrong, but before George Romero's zombies, it was always like some form of voodoo that was thought up to be like the zombie, whereas he was just like, hey, here we are, here's some dead people that are coming out of the grave because of this and this. And actually, I would like to say that my favorite zombie film in the Romero verse is, that's what I'm going to call it, because everything's got to be universe nowadays with the DCEU and the MCU, the Romero verse, actually Land of the Dead is my favorite one. It's got a short tiny little cameo from Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright, because I believe it came out right after the big success of Shaun of the Dead. And another one of my things that I absolutely just completely love. It's like a spoof movie of zombie films, but it's also like a true zombie film in its own right that pays all kinds of homage to the original Night of the Living Dead, and that's Return of the Living Dead, which is not a Romero film, but it's actually a spinoff that these people tried to create as a spoof, as a sequel to the original. So it's wild, and I love it so much. Like, he is the granddaddy and the original pioneer of zombies, and we wouldn't really have what we do now, and probably your favorite or even what you consider the best zombie film, and same thing for myself, if it were not for him. And all these great video games and stuff, like TV shows like The Walking Dead, if it weren't for him. So I think a lot of this stuff is owed to him. And so I think Night of the Living Dead is going to be its own thing. That's initially what I had down as the best zombie film, in my opinion, but it was kind of like a cop-out because, of course, it is. Why wouldn't it be? So that's right. Going to be a movie that's kind of standing alone by itself that we're going to go ahead and just put in the pile to be talked about later on without actually like going into detail. So there you go. We've talked about Night of the Living Dead, the greatest zombie film of all time, that we're not even going to put as our best or favorite for this because it's kind of a cop-out and it's a duh.
So you're telling me I took the easy way out.
You did, yes.
Hey, you know what? I'm okay with that. No, in all seriousness, though, I think it's kind of like in the first episode when we talked about Alfred Hitchcock and what Alfred Hitchcock did for horror movies. I think George Romero certainly did that for zombie movies.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just a different kind of horror. Maybe I'm just kind of an old soul. I don't know, but like I really enjoy the old, you know, kind of original, horror films. From. You know, Psycho and the original Night of the Living Dead. And don't get me wrong, I really like the 1990 version as well. I had actually forgotten. I went back and kind of watched. I rewatched the original kind of in preparation for this week. And apparently it had been a while since I'd watched it. There were some things I had forgotten that it actually ends a little bit differently than the remake, even though they did it almost shot for shot. The script is obviously a little bit different, but the storyline is almost exactly the same. But the ending is a little bit different in the remake, and it really is a remake in the Tony Todd Night of the Living Dead version. I guess I'm just an old soul when it comes to that kind of stuff. Even though there are modern horror movies that I really enjoy, I just like, and there's something about black and white too that it's just there's something creepy about it because sometimes with black and white it's what you don't see, And in 1968, George Romero was really pushing the envelope, kind of like Alfred Hitchcock did with Psycho. He was really pushing the envelope to, in the things that he put in this movie. But, by today's standard, the movie got an R rating. But by today's standards, it's PG-13 at best. And if it wasn't for the brief nudity, it could almost, if you made it exactly the same, it could almost get a PG rating, but there's still something about the black and white and the shadows and the things that you don't see that make it very kind of creepy and kind of give it I kind of liken it to listening to vinyl. For those of you out there who don't know what I'm talking about, there used to be these things called records. I'm not going to go into it. I am old enough to remember 8-tracks. But I actually enjoy listening to vinyl. I enjoy like the cracks and the pops that you hear in vinyl. It's not, it's, not a completely clean sound, like you get on a CD, or even like, you know, like there was on a cassette. But it kind of gives it an authentic feel to it. You know, you get that those cracks and those pops, and it's just kind of like that it should be. It's not all doctored up. So that's really kind of what I love about these black and white films, is that it's not all doctored up. It's not all tricks and gadgets and you know, computer graphics and stuff. It's just it is what it is, and there's certain tricks. You know, a lot of times in black and white films, to get blood, they would use chocolate syrup. You know, and that's just kind of a, you know, now they just they've got better ways to do it, but it's I don't know. In some ways, it's not as good, you know, as what it was originally intended to be. What are your thoughts?
So actually, I wanted to say one of the things that I agree with is the fact that you said that it's black and white, and that that adds a lot to it. Now, it adds a lot to it because it takes so much from it. One thing I really wanted to hit on is when you're watching something in black and white that is supposed to be a scary film, you already have the sound and the orchestral music that is supposed to heighten at a moment of you know, a great dramatic moment at a scary moment or whatever. So you have auditory. And one thing people fear is something they don't understand, the unknown. And so when a film is in black and white, you don't get those colors. So it's like you're losing one of your senses. Yes, yeah. You can still see it, but you don't see it.
Right.
And less that's what is makes more. It so scary. Yeah, exactly. Less is much more in this situation here. And when you lose one of your senses, like, you're kind of freaking out. I mean, imagine, I know it's not on the same level, I'm not trying to pretend that it is, but imagine waking up one day and you're blind, and you're just like, you would be pretty terrified for at least a week. You'd be scared to even move. So it really does add to the dramatic effect of the film, because you have auditory with the sounds that are going on, the orchestral music hitting the right dramatic cues, even the noises that the zombies make and the eating. But then you're losing something. So you have to, it's causing you to rely a lot more heavily on what you can use. In this case, it's your hearing. And so you're a lot more subject to the sounds of the film. And I think that's what makes it great too, is the Foley department did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's kind of move on a little bit, and we're changing things up this week a little bit. We're gonna, rather than, you know, the typical, like, what would you change about the movie? What would you, with zombies, we're gonna ask a few questions here, like, how plausible is the movie? You know, is it believable? You know, how menacing are the zombies compared to other zombie films? And what is the worst thing about this particular apocalypse? Now, when it comes to Night of the Living Dead, I think, you know, in a lot of zombie films, there's a virus, or, you know, some kind of outbreak that causes people to go mad and start craving brains. Now, I've mentioned before on the show that I'm kind of a big guy, and I get hungry a lot. I've never been so hungry that I have craved brains. How about you?
I mean, maybe once.
Maybe once.
Yeah, but I was around somebody that just had no brains, so so I starved.
You know, things happen. Everything happens for a reason. Anyway, see, you know, we go off on these little side trails, and sometimes I forget where I'm at. But that's part of the beauty of this show, and that's part of the beauty of it being unscripted, is we can just we can go other places and then you know, find a path back to where we were.
Yeah, we kind of Marcel Marceau the whole thing, you know, like we get right to a certain point, we give you just like the tip, at, like, you know, the tip of the iceberg, and then we kind of just go right. We can reel ourselves back in, like even now, like I don't even know what I just said, but I said it, and we're coming back slowly.
Hey, but you know what? It's our show. We're in control of it.
It's our party. We can cry if we want to.
That's right. And I've made reference to this a couple times now. I mean, we really do this show completely unscripted. Like, other than the fact that, you know, we know the subject we're going to talk about.
We have questions and stuff.
That's it. But that's it. Like, I think I know what I'm going to say when we start this thing, and then I get into it, and it's like, oh, hey, this thought pops into my head, and kind of like now, like me explaining this whole thing. But anyway, so the difference in Night of the Living Dead is it's more of it's radiation from a bomb that's exploded. That's causing people to turn into flesh eating monsters. I don't know that. I don't know that you can really say any zombie movie is plausible. In the sense that, you know, it's people eating flesh and obviously coming back from the dead. However, there are certain effects that people have from too much radiation that can cause people to go crazy. I think that there's definitely a form of realism in the sense that, you know, in the sense that the effects that radiation has on the body, you know, so. I don't know if necessarily, you know, people will ever come back from the dead and start feasting on human flesh, but I think that
be a lot cooler if they did.
If only we had Matthew McConaughey to say that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I would love it. Matthew McConaughey, come join our show. We won't pay you, but
that'd be so cool.
We'd give you a good review on Yelp or something. Like, this guy, Venmo or whatever the heck it's called, Vimo or
only people who have seen Dazed and Confused will get that reference, and that's okay. You know, it's I'm not gonna quote it, but I'm just gonna say that movie has one of the greatest lines of all time. you know what it is. You know what I'm referring to, because we've talked about it before. And it's just, it's a great line. And I don't think anybody else could have played that part except Matthew McConaughey. It's just so
well, cool. In hindsight, Kevin Spacey.
Well, you know, anyway. yeah. Well, we're not.
Back on track here.
Speaking of realism.
speaking of realistic. Got a little too real. A little too real there.
Yeah. Would I survive this zombie apocalypse? I'm going to go and say that I don't think I would survive any apocalypse. Go ahead and say this for what I think is the greatest movie and what I think is my favorite movie. And I'll tell you the number one reason why I would not survive. It's because I would run out of like probably day three, and I'll tell you why. Because when I get bored, I eat, and I don't really think there's a whole, like, you're not going out and like doing stuff. It's not like, hey, I know there's some zombies out there, but I really need to run to Target right now. You know, like I need the newest pair of sneakers. I don't know. I don't shop at Target, but whatever they have. But no, you're like there's nothing to do. You hunker down and you sit in a room or wherever you are, lock yourself in a tree house, do something.
A tree house.
I don't know that zombies can climb trees. Okay,
I'm just saying, if this was World War Z zombies, they could form a mountain.
They could, but I don't think that in normal zombie movies they can climb trees. So a treehouse wouldn't necessarily be the worst place in the world, except in the event of a really bad storm. Anyway, but no, like I would be so bored. And I would probably have already read like every book known to man by day three, because chances are if there's an apocalypse, there's no TV, no cell phones. So I would be reading by candlelight, like they did, you know, back in the 1800s. And I would probably just sit and eat and eat and eat and eat. And day three, I would be out of food. And that would be my time to leave wherever I'm at, because like, oh, well, I need food. And as soon as I step out the door, I'm toast.
You're bitten. You're donezo.
I am. Because, well, I just gained, you know, 150 pounds in 3 days.
In 3 days?
And so, like, it's not good. It's really not good. And, yeah, so, no, I would not survive. And, you know, I wish I could say that I was ashamed to admit that I would eat, you know, a week's worth of food or a month's worth of food in 3 days. But anybody who knows me knows that I like to snack. And it's, yeah, so I would be, like, what else would there be to do? Nothing. You're just sitting there.
I could think of a couple things off the top of my head, but.
I mean, but realistically, you know, there's no power. There's no, you know, anyway, and like by this point, like I've already sacrificed, you know, all the people that were with me, just because
you didn't want them getting the food.
Because I want the food to myself. To all the people who I'm related to or who are my close friends, I really do love you guys, and I wouldn't really sacrifice you.
I think you would.
Well,
I'm convinced.
I would sacrifice you, Hayden, but
yeah, in a heartbeat.
That's, you know, I would do it out of love, because I feel like if I didn't, your death would be slow and painful. And it'd be a mercy killing. It's really what it would be. So I sound.
I can't watch you starve to death because I'm eating all the food. So I'm gonna kill
exactly.
you. Like
exactly.
That's how it would go.
You know, I really probably sound like a horrible person right now. But again, I'm just doing you all a favor.
Survival of the fittest.
Survival of the fittest.
Fittest. It's whichever.
Yeah. So let's talk about the how menacing these zombies are. Now, unlike most movies, in Night of the Living Dead, these zombies actually like pick up weapons and
like
in the opening scene they grab a brick and try to smash out the car window. That's
no.
Well,
correct me if I'm wrong, but Night of the Living Dead is the one where he's like, "They're coming to get you, Barbara."
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah. Before anything even happens, like nothing's happened. There's no trace of any zombies. He's just being an asshat like that. Like,
yeah,
that's that guy's whole derogative.
Yeah, so for anybody who hasn't seen the movie. So the opening scene, it's a brother and sister, and they're driving up to the cemetery to plant flowers or whatever on their mother's grave. And the sister's all kind of nervous about it or whatever, about, you know, being out there, because the cemetery is kind of in the middle of nowhere. And there's, I think in the movie they say they're like 3 or 4 hours away from home. So that, you know.
Yeah, I believe so.
And,
yeah.
3 or 4. So yeah, her brother's just kind of being a jerk, and he's pretending. Now, the in the 1990 version, the whole way, the whole car ride.
I think we've lost Nathan. Oh, no, there he is. Oh, okay.
Did we lose some connection or something?
I think so. This is the perks of number one, COVID, number two, being poor, guys. We have to do this from our own homes. Yeah. Sorry.
I think my Wi-Fi may be messing up. Thanks, AT&T. Hey, look at that. We won't be getting a sponsor from them.
Yes, Spectrum, come sponsor us.
Anyway, but yeah, so the brother starts being a jerk, and as he's saying, they're coming to get you, Barbara. A zombie happens to attack them. Now, one of the cool things about this is that you get to see, and in most zombie films, there's so much left unknown at the end. You don't really know what happens to the characters. Right. There's no callbacks. Like you kind of can guess their fate, but especially in like the remake of Dawn of the Dead, when they at the end they show the lost footage or the found footage, however you want to word it. You kind of know what happens to them, but there's really no, like, you kind of get zombies, and then there's just the questions, left unanswered. But in this one, you actually get to see, it's the very start of the whole apocalypse, but you do kind of get to see the end of it, at least what you assume is the end of it, because there are people out there who are hunting the zombies at the end, and they are, they're killing them all. So you assume that in this particular instance, the apocalypse only lasted, 1 or 2 days at most. Which I think in depending on how fast it spread, you could probably end the thing pretty quickly if you just if you just started hunting them. So I think that the zombies, the fact that they can pick up weapons and stuff like that. And I'm going to go ahead and say that I think that's the worst part of this apocalypse, is that the zombies can pick up weapons, because in the end, that's really what is the undoing of our main characters. It's the fact that the zombies actually break down the door with a table leg that he had used as a torch. Earlier in the movie, he had left it outside, and that one of the zombies actually picks it up and breaks down the door. So that's the worst part about this, and that's what makes them so menacing, is that they're very smart, and they and I don't know if it's because this was kind of an early zombie film. Or if it's just the fact that, like, it's the early part of the zombie apocalypse, or maybe they haven't deteriorated yet. They still have emotions. And there's even a scene where her brother shows back up as the zombies are breaking in. She sees him, and he looks at her and he grabs her, and it's almost like he knows who she is, but he can't stop himself from wanting to eater brains. Right. You know, I don't always get along with my brother and sister, but, again, never been so mad at them that I wanted to, eat their flesh.
Not me, man. My brothers are dead. I'm eating you guys. I don't care. Sorry, fellas.
You know, each family's got their own problems, right?
Well, mine is just cannibalistic, apparently.
And it's just me. Well, I did say I would sacrifice people earlier, so there you go.
See, there you go.
Now, the last thing I will say about this, and then I'll let you get into your selection. We have a question on here as to what is a weapon of choice. And I'm gonna go with a little modern day variation of a baseball bat, and like Negan from The Walking Dead, he's got it wrapped in barbed wire. I think that's probably genius because one,
it's quick. It's very quick.
But it also protects the bat, like you're not getting direct impact on the wood, so the bat is going to last a little bit longer and hold up, which would be the key in a zombie apocalypse, because who knows how long it's really going to last. I guess for me, we established that it would only last 3 days. So for 3 days, I would have a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire. That's my choice for greatest zombie film, Night of the Living Dead. I'll turn it over to you now to ramble on for a few minutes.
Yeah. I'll keep mine short and sweet and to the point. I'll just try to blaze through this as fast as I can. So I'm actually going to start with my favorite zombie film. So my favorite zombie film of all time, without a doubt, is actually a little film that was released on October 30th, which is actually my birthday, 2015. That's not why it's my favorite, I promise. And it's called Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. It is a horror comedy movie. We've already done horror comedy, and I was contemplating so hard putting this on that list. You have these three kids who you've got Ben, Carter, and Augie, who are all saving the day with the help of a woman named Denise, who is played by Sarah Dumont. And it's a beautiful, but it's a beautiful film about just a couple of kids who are wanting to have fun. And it's about like a budding relationship of sorts between one boy and his friend's sister, who is played by Halston Sage, who everyone might know as Mrs. Jesus, what is that guy's name? I'm blanking on his name now. My goodness. Mrs. Seth MacFarlane. Also, she was in his show, the one that's like Star Trek, that name I'm also blanking on now because my cat is abusing my book that I'm writing on, all this stuff that I'm keeping our notes in. Could you please quit? Thank you. But she's in that. So it's also got David Koechner in it, who everybody loves David Koechner. Who doesn't, but basically there is three kids, two of them, which is Ty Sheridan and Logan Miller. You guys might know Ty Sheridan from the X-Men films. He plays the young Cyclops in the newer X-Men films. So shout out to Nathan's favorite superhero, X-Men. Sorry. But this film is really, really, really good because first of all, it's freaking hilarious. And second of all, it's actually got some great moments in it. I don't want to spoil the movie a whole lot. And there's actually a graphic scene involving a trampoline, and then having to hold on to somebody's appendage to not fall out of the thing. But luckily it's just a zombie and that thing just rips right off. So we'll leave it there. It is your typical teen boy banter throughout the film, so there's obviously a lot of cuss words, but I promise you this movie is 100% worth it. Like, it's 100% worth it. Just go see it. And how the outbreak starts is it was made in a lab, and it kind of just gets out there. First by a guy that is in the hospital that's getting worked on by a doctor who steps out to get something to eat from the vending machine, the little vending machine that's right outside of his autopsy room. And the janitor is played by Blake Anderson of Workaholics fame. And he goes in there to mess around. And of course he gets attacked and him and the doctor get bitten and they kind of go on to spread the zombie apocalypse throughout the small little town. The movie is much better than I'm giving it credit for. So I'm just going to go ahead and get into the questions. Just know that there's a part where an old lady who becomes a zombie, her false teeth fall out, so she can't bite anybody, and she ends up gumming one of the boys' asses because she can't bite through it. So how realistic and plausible is the backstory to how the zombies came about? I'm going to say, on a scale of 0 to 10 hazmat suits, it's about a 5. You know, it's 50-50. We never know what the government is doing, number one, and we never know what's being tested at your local Eli Lilly or whatever, or vaccination CDC if you're in Georgia place or wherever they're studying this and that. You don't know what's going on, so it's a 50-50 shot for this particular film here as to whether it's going to be realistic or not. Like I said, it was created in a lab, and some guy just happened to be infected with it who passed away, who ended up at a hospital, or a morgue, rather, and, you know. Anyhow, would I survive these zombies? Absolutely. So to give you some perspective, these zombies don't sprint. They very lightly jog as the fastest that they will go. They're pretty quick to bite, but again, the fastest they go is a brisk jog. There's also a homeless zombie that was seen previously in the film as not a zombie, wearing a Britney Spears shirt, and they get to communicate with him by singing Britney Spears, and he sings back with them. And he eventually becomes good until he gets smashed by a car. It's a very comedic moment. It's hilarious. They find out they can connect to the zombies. So absolutely, I'd survive this. I'd just find out what their common interests are and just go with that. Just look at what they have on. If Nathan became a zombie and he had a 49ers hat on, I mean, obviously I know who he is, but if I didn't and he had a 49ers hat on, I'd be like, hey, isn't Jimmy G just great? Isn't Kyle Shanahan just a fantastic coach? And his zombie would be like, yes, he is. That's good stuff. I'm with you now. And he would help me fight the zombies. I don't know if that actually happens because, again, the zombie dies before that does. But now, against other movies, like how menacing are these zombies? There are a couple scenes which are pretty scary, jump worthy, and a little graphic maybe, but they're not that scary. Again, you have a homeless man zombie wearing a Britney Spears shirt that they communicate with singing Hit Me Baby One More Time. So it's very comedic, and I absolutely love it. If we're going to go into preferred weapon of choice, like I want to hit that next. In the film, one of the boys, he gets a caulk gun. So for those of you who had never done painting or drywall or anything like that, a caulk gun is what you put your little tube of caulk in. You pull the thing back, like the little, I'm blanking on the name. It's a rod. It's a hooked rod. You pull it back, and then basically you squeeze the hand. It's literally in the shape of a gun. It almost looks like a Tommy gun. But you squeeze the little handle, it just pushes that rod inwards, and it squeezes all your caulk out. So it's like, you know, bing, bang, boom, 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 quick, and you're done. He modifies that, and he, shoots little bolts out of it. It's great. Like, I would use that. Or, you know, if I wasn't that intelligent, which I'm not, I'm not a Boy Scout, you know, a sword, maybe, if I could find some, you know, the local weeaboo's house and see if they got a sword. You know, they claim to be an otaku, but we all know they're just a weeaboo. Just grab a sword. I think that'd be cool. Like, I've always wanted to use a sword just to slice and dice some things. I'm not people because I'm not crazy, but zombies for sure. And really, when it comes to the worst part about this apocalypse in particular, I don't really feel like there is, because it's over and done with within less than 24 hours. So I guess maybe the worst part about, I guess, any zombie apocalypse is you might have to see a family member or two die or a friend die or whatever. But really, this movie is just a funny ride all the way through with absolutely zero consequences. Like, there's like nothing goes wrong in this film to any of the main heroes. And it, like, everything goes right and it's hilarious. Like, if you guys have not seen this film, you've got to watch this film. If you like Cyclops, you've got to watch this film. It's great. I love it. It's hilarious. There are some jump scare moments in it, but nothing out of this world. And you get to see an old lady use her gums on a young man's butt cheeks that she can't bite through. And he's freaking out because it feels so gooey and moist. So, like, you have to watch it. Like, the banter between these three kids is great. It's definitely like a coming of age film that just so happens to be set during a zombie apocalypse, which isn't really an apocalypse because it's less than 24 hours, but it's great. I love it so much.
You know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I was kind of an old soul. You just described a movie as coming of age. That's like so 1990s.
It is. It's very American Pie, 1990s cliche. Like, it really is.
Anyway, it's okay. You know, maybe we're both old souls. I don't know.
I think so.
Good times. Good times. Yeah. So, do you want to go ahead and have me talk about my favorite, or do you want to go ahead and give what you think is the best?
Well, I mean, if if you want to go ahead and go into what your favorite is, absolutely, yeah.
All right.
We'll keep it a back and forth.
So my favorite zombie movie is not really your typical zombie movie. I just want to point out to the millions of people listening out there that my wife came downstairs into my recording studio, aka my dining room table. And my wife thinks that I'm kind of a nerd for doing this podcast. And she held up a giant L on her forehead as I'm talking. I'm trying not to laugh about this.
I thought you were gonna say, I'm trying not to swing on her, and I was like, Nathan, this you're getting too violent now.
No. Yeah. Anyway. Zombie movie. In the sense it's kind of an action thriller as well. It's the 2002 film starring Mila Jovovich, Resident Evil.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in. I like that film. The second one I like is my favorite in that franchise, but I do like the first one.
Yeah. So I think that one of the reasons that I picked the first one over the second one is because it was kind of original. Yeah, it's based on a video game of the same name, for anybody out there who didn't know that.
Or the video game named Biohazard if you're in the UK.
Yes. Which we actually talked about a while back that, you know, Resident Evil 7 would have been Biohazard.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure they had a different name for it in the UK. I don't know, but... this movie is a little bit different in the sense that, it really is kind of an action movie as well. And every movie, I think the third one was it, Extinction? Was that the third one?
Yeah, Extinction was because it's Resident Evil, then you have Apocalypse, then you have Extinction.
Yeah.
Then I believe it's Afterlife.
Afterlife. And then
Retribution.
Retribution, and then the final chapter.
Yeah. Yep.
But
that's it.
Extinction is probably my least favorite in the series. Not really because it's bad. I just didn't think the storyline I don't know. I didn't think the storyline was as good as it was in the other movies, but just
and then
a personal
she's got
opinion.
Like a million clones and
yeah. But anyway, so this movie, so basically, stars Mila Jovovich. She plays a girl named Alice, who she
in
she.
Chains.
What'd you say?
She said she plays a girl named Alice. I said in Chains.
she's not in Chains.
I'm sorry,
but she does wake up to a world that makes her feel like she's in chains. But yeah, she wakes up and she's kind of thrust into this this whole world full of zombies. She goes down into this lab and finds that this virus has been released. Now, what makes this movie kind of different than a normal zombie movie is that it's kind of like Die Hard with zombies, in the sense that she's the hero, you know, she's the gunslinging good guy who's gonna save the day, and obviously, you know, they made five other films, so there's a continuing storyline, but I think that this movie it really opened up the door. It really opened up the door for movies like World War Z and some of the others that kind of had smart zombies, if you will. I don't know if that's what you'd call them, but
smart zombies.
Yeah, smart zombies.
Intelli-zombies. Yeah.
Hey, movie idea.
Yep, it's right there. We're writing movies, guys. You can't take our ideas. Copyright,
exactly.
Right here.
How do we get a copyright? Anyway,
I think we got to pay for it.
It's 11:23 at night. I don't think we're getting a copyright right this minute. We'll figure it out in the morning.
Yeah, timestamp it.
Now, this one, I think, you know, if we're talking on a scale of 0 to 10. It's probably about a 6 or 7 as far as plausibility, and the reason being is because it's basically this major corporation that you find out is evil and doing all kinds of things, and it's really the virus is kind of released on purpose, it's kind of accidentally on purpose, I suppose, but.
He straight up just tosses it with no regard.
Yeah, that's true. I was trying to give him the benefit of a doubt, but yeah, it's totally on purpose. So you know, I think that that there's kind of some, you know, sick scientist out there who'd be like, "Hey, let's see what this does," and you know, run these crazy experiments. So I think, again, kind of like with the with Night of the Living Dead, I think the worst thing and what makes these zombies so menacing is probably the same thing. The worst thing is that these zombies kind of mutate, so it's not like it's just one form of zombie. Probably the scariest scene in the movie is the it's when they're on the train, you know, underground or subway, whatever it is, and there's a zombie. I think they're Dobermans, is what they're supposed to be. That scene is absolutely terrifying, especially the first time you watch it and you don't know what's coming. It's kind of these zombie dogs, pretty terrifying. But you find out.
Are you talking about the lickers?
You find out in other movies that there are even more strands of or variations of these zombies, including one she fights. It's a Nemesis.
He's my favorite.
Yeah, and you know, actually he's probably like that one's scary. Like not the scene itself, but just the thought of if there was really a zombie like that. I don't know if there's anybody who would actually survive that in real life. You know, maybe a Navy SEAL or something, but yeah, so that's what makes these zombies so menacing compared to other you know, normally in zombie movies you just got it's the sheer number of them that makes them menacing. And this, not only is it the number, but it's the fact that that these zombies are really kind of evolving. You know, so it's kind of hard to say, you know, where it will end, because it's just constantly going. Now I know,
well, not only that, but it spreads pretty quickly too.
Yeah, exactly. Like it probably more quickly than any other. Maybe not any other, but it definitely spreads very quickly.
Takes about an hour, I think.
Yeah, which is, I mean, honestly, that's probably super real zombies and put them into the real world. That's very, in the sense that they would spread pretty quickly. Now I know I said I would use, you know, Negan's bat, but maybe not in the Resident Evil universe. I would probably just use Alice as my weapon. Like I would just hide behind her and let her do her.
I would too.
Yeah. Just let her do her really thing the whole time. Because like I said, she's like John McClane and John Wick
and Rambo
and John Goodman.
Neo,
just basically
Matrix.
Basically everybody named John, right? So you got John McClane.
Did you say John Goodman?
John Goodman, right? I don't know why, but just because. But
just John.
You said Rambo. His name is John Rambo. John Wick. Yeah. Like, just apparently
the Johns.
Apparently people named John are like super hero, super killers. I really don't know why John Goodman's in there.
If your name's John, contact us. We need to find out if you're a superhero.
John Connor, like,
yeah,
see,
yeah. John Cena,
John Cena. That's right. Only problem is you can't see him.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever see him. Yeah. We can't even interview him because we won't go to see him.
Is that? See, this is what happens when you become a father. You tell really lame dad jokes. It's kind of like,
oh no, here I am telling lame jokes.
It's kind of like a superpower that you get the moment of conception. The father like instantly feels this power rush over him, and he's a, you know, he has a superpower to make really, really awesome jokes that other people who aren't fathers don't understand.
They don't appreciate.
They don't understand. So yeah, I don't think I missed that. I think I answered all the questions that we have about this film. But
yeah.
If you haven't watched the Resident Evil franchise, start with the last one and work your way back. Just for you know,
just so you can confuse yourself.
Just because.
So the movies get simpler, not
exactly, exactly. But you know, I kind of wonder if you started it at the beginning and you worked your way back, does that mean the bad guys win? Or like if you actually watched it backwards, like just, you know, like actually rewound the movie, or you know, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
like would the virus clear up, because it would go back to like when he throws the vial and like it would come back into his hand. I don't know. What am I talking about?
I ask the same thing about myself every day in my life. I don't know what I talk about. I go on side tangents and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, we that's the beauty of this show. You never know what you're going to get. Except
we like to have fun.
Except you know that we're going to mainline some movies.
Exactly. Get another shot right now.
Anyway, so what do you think is the greatest Zambi film of all time?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Nathan, because have I got a film for you or everybody, because everybody needs to watch this film. So let me just say this. The virus in this film is a little virus called the Rage Virus, also simply known as the Infection. It is a fictional disease that is very, very, very plausible in a little movie franchise called 28 Days Later. Now, 28 Days Later is not the movie I think is the greatest zombie movie of all time. It's actually 28 Weeks Later. It's sequel. So let me read you a little bit about the Rage Virus. It is a bloodborne virus that sends its host into a state of extreme uncontrollable rage. It is the main catalyst and antagonist force during the events of 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later. The origin of this virus was in Cambridge. Cambridge scientists Clive and Warren were hired to try it. They were hired to try and isolate the specific neurochemicals that cause anger and excessive aggression in human beings in order to develop an inhibitor that regulates anger control issues. After they successfully developed an inhibitor, Warren believed that delivering widespread with a pill, or an aerosol wouldn't do. And he decided to use the Ebola virus as a delivery system because Ebola spreads very, very, very quickly and it is very fast acting. You can die from Ebola within about 24 hours at the fastest. At the longest, about 24 hours. If you're getting it and you know you're going to die like almost immediately. However, within 2 weeks, several isolated genomes in the Ebola virus reacted to the inhibitor and mutated, causing the inhibitor to have the opposite effect. Instead of inhibiting anger, it caused its host to become full-on, constant, uncontrollable rage and creating the Rage Virus. After the Rage Virus developed, Clive quit from the project and informed the Animal Freedom Front about the experimentation on animals out of disgust at what he and Warren had created. A group of activists sent by the AFF later broke into the lab and freed one of the infected chimpanzee tests. That chimpanzee attacked and infected one activist, who then infected a scientist and the other activists. From then, the Rage Virus spread throughout Great Britain. That is just in 28 Days Later. So, let me tell you a little bit about this virus and why I would not survive. First of all, this movie is haunting. This movie is absolutely haunting. I've already said I wouldn't survive. Let me tell you, first of all, this movie is completely plausible. Completely plausible. Again, they were working on something to help people with anger. And then they're like, well, you know, a pill wouldn't be fast enough. We couldn't distribute enough. And the same thing with aerosol. It wouldn't be fast enough. It wouldn't work. So why don't we take a disease that we know spreads super, super fast and just like, hey, we'll put it in this. You might get a little, like, think of it this way. In this particular world, it's not actually said if they had a cure for Ebola, but why would they kill people? Exactly. So they, let's just say that they had a cure for Ebola. So obviously it's something that's very curable and treatable at this point in this particular world. So like, hey, you know, we're just gonna get people a little sick. They'll have like a common cold because they've all had their vaccines, what have you, you know, and then boom, like no one's going to get angry anymore. Like no one's going to be like little rage machines, no more anger management. So there's a little, non-job security there, but whatever. This is 100% plausible. Out of 10 hazmat suits, I'm giving this 10 hazmat suits. And let me tell you a little bit how this virus works. Okay. And this is why I wouldn't survive, because this virus works instantly. Instantly. Not 24 hours, not 1 hour. It is instantaneous. And you want to know why I'd be destroyed? Because I always have constant little cuts all over my body. And all it takes is saliva or blood getting on your eyes, in your nose, in your mouth, or on any little tiny cut on your body. And instantaneously, within seconds, you are turned and you are a giant rage machine zombie eating everyone and everything. That being said, I probably use an M4 as my weapon, but this movie, 28 weeks later, stars Hawkeye, Clint Barton, himself, Jeremy Renner, and Rose Byrne as two military members who are trying to protect a small child and his older sister because their dad is a piece of garbage, and we're not even going to talk about the dad. But just know that he left his wife at home to die. And then goes and starts a whole new life like nothing happened. But also, she didn't die because she has two different colored eyes. And that's the only way you're immune to this virus is if you have two different colored eyes. You can get it. You can carry it. Your eyes will be bloodshot, but you're completely fine. You feel normal. You feel okay. You just are like, ah, wowee, I got a little bit of a headache because my eyes are bloodshot. And then like a week or two later, you're fine. And they're trying to protect his son because his father went into full-on rage mode and absolutely obliterated their mother. So Jeremy Renner and Rose Byrne are trying to protect this little boy and his sister because this little boy's got two different colored eyes just like his mother. And they're trying to develop an antidote for all this craziness. And this film takes place 28 weeks, obviously it's in the title, 28 weeks later, after the initial incident in 28 days later, which does get contained. But it's still very much out there. And these zombies are sprinters. Like marathon sprinters. And it's redonkulous. Again, I would die instantaneously. This movie is a movie that has to be seen by everybody. It's great. If you haven't seen 28 Days Later, I recommend watching that one first. But 28 Weeks Later is the far superior film. It's just horrifying. It's horrifying to think that some... That this is very plausible. Like, I read you how the virus got started and what happened. Like, it's very, very plausible. Also, I stumbled a couple times because I cannot read my own handwriting. My handwriting is worse than a doctor who is still an unborn fetus. Because, you know, unborn fetuses can't write and doctors' handwritings are terrible. Mix the two together and that's what you have for mine. So, like, it's bad. So, anyhow... Yeah, like 28 weeks later, just go see this movie. It was released in 2007, so there are Blu-ray copies of it out there that you can probably find that are in pristine condition. You might be able to rent it on something, but this is a absolute must-see film. It's an absolute must-see film.
I do think if you have Amazon Prime, I think it's at least available to rent on there. I don't remember if it's one of the free movies or not. But it's certainly on there one way or another. You know, it's about time that you came up with a greatest film that I've actually seen. I actually did. I did. I have seen both these movies. I agree. These movies, really, both of them are pretty scary. And really, the... You know, the biggest thing is, like you said, the zombies there. Well, not one, it spreads so quickly, and two, it's you know, the zombies are sprinters. They're fast moving. I prefer the slow moving. I feel like I could survive more, you know,
or a brisk jog.
I feel like I could survive longer in a zombie world where they move slow. Or like if, you know, they have no legs, they would have to crawl. You know, I feel like I could survive a little bit longer in that world than like a 28 days later, 28 weeks later, World War...
Mega sprinters, all-stars. Right,
World War Z, where they can actually like climb walls and stuff.
Yeah, every zombie's faster than Usain Bolt. Yeah. Like, I'm okay.
Yeah. No, I don't want to be part of that zombie apocalypse. I want to be.
I'm not surviving.
Yeah, you know, you know what I want. I want couch potato zombies. Like, that's what I want.
Like, they're the dead reanimated, but they just want nothing to do with anybody.
Right? They're just they're so lazy that
they're basically millennials.
Right? They're like me, but zombie form.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Those zombies.
So I do like to make fun of myself a lot, in case you guys haven't noticed, but that's all part of the fun, you know. And Hayden and I make fun of each other all the time too at work, and you know, and through via text message, for those of you who have phones that can do. It's 2021, and there are still people that don't
cellular text devices. Messages. Yeah, I don't get that. Like, oh, I'm going to call you. How about let's not. Like, just I hear voices all the time. I don't feel like hearing yours. You know, just text
me. Right. But anyway, yeah. So we're. That's a.
Another subcategory down.
That's zombies, guys. And I do have to say that, like I said at the top of the show, zombies is probably my favorite category. Now, there's a lot of really bad zombie movies out there. But even the bad ones I enjoy because, well, it's just like...
How dare you? The Nick Cannon Day of the Dead was the greatest film of all time.
I mentioned this earlier. I told you I was going to give it an honorable mention.
You did.
And I forgot until just now.
It wasn't very honorable.
I guess not. So while I think that Night of the Living Dead is the greatest, and I think that Resident Evil is my favorite, my favorite scene from a zombie movie does not come from either one of these. However, it does come from a George Romero film, and that was the one he did 10 years after Night of the Living Dead, called Dawn of the Dead. Now, again, this movie was remade in, I think, 2004?
2004 by Zack Snyder. It's actually one of the greatest remakes of all time.
They did a really good job with the remake. I will give them that. I really enjoy the remake. But there is a scene in... For anybody who doesn't know, Dawn of the Dead. If you've seen the remake too, the whole movie, the majority of the movie takes place inside of a mall. They certainly kept that from the original film, because that too takes place inside of a mall. But there's a scene where the zombies break in. They finally get inside the mall. And they attack one of the characters, and there's just a scene where they're pulling out this guy's intestines, and having them for lunch, and it is just like it may be like one of the most zombified. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to use it. Maybe one of the most.
I think so.
Maybe one of the most.
Let's coin it.
One of the most zombified zombie scenes of all time, because there's just like four or five, six zombies just like munching on this dude's intestines for lunch. And it's so gross and so comical at the same time. And I just feel like that scene kind of puts zombie movies in a nutshell. It's just, now, there are, you know, like 28 days later, 28 weeks later, World War Z. There are zombie movies that are actually made to be scary, but the majority of zombie movies, there's, they don't really intend for them to be scary. Or if they do, they don't do a very good job. There's just something, there's something funny about zombies. maybe I'm just demented. I don't know, but there's, to me, there's something funny about zombies, and there's something, there's just something funny about some dude getting his intestines ripped out, and it's What is wrong
with you? That's it. Like that, this guy's getting his intestines ripped out. You're like, hey, look at that. It's Olive Garden, but for zombies. Right. Unlimited spleens, livers,
and it kidneys. Is just the greatest. It is just the greatest zombie scene in the history of zombie movies. And it's only fitting that, again, it was a George Romero movie because, like we said, godfather of zombie movies.
We should do a Mount Rushmore of horror films, like director-wise. That's what we should do. Whole episode.
Let's see. I would say...
The whole episode.
I won't say. We should. Let's pin that, and we'll do an episode where we come up with, see, how many are there five presidents on Mount Rushmore? It's four or five. All my history teachers are yelling at me right now in my head. I think there's at least four. So future episode, we'll do top five. What we think are the top five. Well, maybe we should just come up with them together because I feel like we'd have the same. We'll just collectively come up with a Mount Rushmore of horror movie directors and say why we think they're up there and kind of talk about some of the films that they've done.
Yeah. We'll dedicate a whole 2-hour episode. To you guys.
I'll dedicate four.
We'll do two. It's a two-parter.
One other thing before we end this episode, guys, I need to correct an error that I made back in episode uno. I talked about an Abigail Breslin movie that I used to quote and scare my wife with, and I misspoke the title of the movie. I said the movie was called House. There is a movie called House that it is a horror film, but it's something completely different. The movie that Abigail Breslin is called Haunter. And if you ever get a chance to see the movie, I highly recommend it. It's more of a psychological thriller than it is jump scare, although there is jump scare moments in it. But yeah, anyway, the movie is called Haunter. I do apologize for the saying the wrong name of the movie in case anybody was looking for it. I found out early last week that I was incorrect because I was looking something up and I came across it and I was like, oh, well, I was wrong as usual. But just wanted to let everybody know that. I'm human. I make mistakes. Unlike our topic tonight, I plan on staying human. So that's
being. It's a great show.
Yeah. That's all I have to say. I will send it back to you, sir.
Zombies. And I just cut it off right there. No, I'm kidding. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on another fantastic episode of Mainlining Movies. We promise we're going to keep getting better at this, just working out some of the kinks. And, you know, as always, keep mainlining movies and staying awesome. And also, eat some brains or something. It's like a zombie episode. Do it.
It's a healthy snack.
Eat some brains. Exactly. Make you smarter. Bye, everybody.